Our Old Testament reading is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 3. Now, I know what you're thinking. Another long passage, just like Easter Sunday or Good Friday. We obviously listen to every scripture with reverence and awe. But as I read through this creation account, I would especially like to challenge you to imagine and picture the words that are being described. That may for you mean that you need to close your eyes and simply listen to these words and imagine this creation account. It may be best for you to look outside, at the mountains or the trees or the rain, and to see God's handiwork. So this is a long passage, but I think it's important that we focus in and understand the beauty and magnificence of God's creation. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, and you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. A joyous frustration of parenting is the amount of stuff we bring home every day of every week. Every day, towards Friday, let me put it that way, towards Friday, our counters, our couches, our refrigerator are stacked with drawings, with things with ribbons on them, with paintings, with goodies from school. Every day, every week, this is the cycle. It stacks up and stacks up and stacks up. Artwork, drawing, crafts, where do we put it when it stacks up so much? The refrigerator only has so much space. The bulletin board that we put up to keep their artwork on only has so much space. It ran out of space in like half a day. We can't throw it away because there has never been a craft that our girl said, yeah, you can get rid of that one. And that may be frustrating for a moment, but then you have to think, our girls created these things with such joy and purpose, and they see it as good. And you know what? I see it that way, too. This is something I found in my office from Georgia. This is a picture of me and Maggie. I think these are her footprints. At least I hope they're hers. And it's a poem that they made at their daycare for Father's Day. It says, walk alongside Daddy and hold my... I can't continue. I won't be able to get through it. I made it two lines. I thought I could make it a little further, but I could feel it coming on. You know, we've created a bin out in our garage because we can't bring ourselves to throw things away that they bring home. We value them because they value them. Yeah, maybe something like this is a gift for Father's Day, but sometimes there's this half sheet of paper with like scribbles on it, and we can't throw it away. Because it's a good creation. Donald Miller, in the opening lines of his book, Blue Like Jazz, says, I never liked jazz music because jazz music doesn't resolve. But I was outside the Baghdad Theater in Portland one night, and when I saw a man playing the saxophone, I stood there for 15 minutes, and he never opened his eyes. After that, I liked jazz music. He says, sometimes you have to watch somebody love something before you can love it yourself. It's as if they are showing you the way. We catch many glimpses of God's person in the Scripture, and we're going to talk about those in the coming weeks. Of course, Jesus Christ is the ultimate revelation of God, but I think there's something very valuable about reminding ourselves of God the Creator. We imagine God also, I think, as this stoic presence extending his hand upon creation. We may have these dramatic images of a bearded man extending his hand out and then seeing the earth come into being. Or we may imagine a man extending his hand out and seeing the animals come about. I think that's the picture we grow up with as God, this dramatic stoic creation event. But how much more valuable might it be to view God as a creator, as an artist, a person intensely concentrating on their craft with a smile on their face? What good would it do us to view God as a little child bringing something into existence, such as a craft at school or something they have created at home? And in seeing God as such a creator, as one who takes joy in the act of creating, but also in the goodness of that creation, knowing there is not one created person, rock, tree, raindrop, that God says, no, I'm going to throw that one away. That didn't turn out so well. I don't remember God saying that. And in seeing God as such a creator, what does that say about God's character? What does it say about us as we relate to others. I think there's a few things that we can take from this opening creation passage of the Bible. And of course, God's creation and God as creator is referenced throughout the scripture. We could find many scriptures referring to God as the creator. But when we look at this passage, the first thing that jumps out to me is how often God saw that it is good. God's creation is good. All good things are of God, a truth we must always remember, and yet we tend to forget. When you create something, anything, take your art, your craft, your hobby, whatever it may be, maybe you're cooking something, I don't know, or baking something. You probably have at some point along the way made a mistake and torn off the rough draft and crumbled it and threw it away, right? I do that sometimes as I'm writing a sermon or other things. Sometimes you'll just create something and you'll kind of say, you know, it's just not my best work, but I'm finished and I don't feel like starting over. I actually had some papers in seminary that were like that. I said, that didn't turn out so well, but I'm not going back to write 10 brand new pages. I'm just going to leave it at that. In the scripture, everything God creates, top to bottom, is good. You'll notice there's nothing in the creation account where God says, you know, that didn't turn out how I wanted. You'll notice that God never says, no, wipe that one away. I'm going to start over. Everything God creates in this passage, God says is good. The Genesis creation account is not a one-time example of how God creates. It may be the beginning, but it is also a glimpse into how God continues to create today. And although creation has its flaws, yes, creation does have its flaws, God still loves God's work. That doesn't lessen the reality that God says it's good. Just because we're flawed and we are imperfect does not mean that we aren't good in the eyes of God. In the book of Colossians, we read that all things through all time have been created by God. Imagine for a moment what that means for you. In those times that you have felt worthless, or you feel like the rough draft of a better person, God didn't make a mistake in creating you. Some Christians don't preach that. Some Christian ministers take lots of pleasure in pointing out all the things that you do wrong, all the ways that you fall short. And some preachers will say, yes, we'll use these words, God hates you. Yes, some Christian preachers still use these words. That's not what I read in this creation account, folks. God may be disappointed in us. God may see our sin and ask us to repent of that sin. That does not mean that God despises us or hates us or God has regrets about you. God didn't make a mistake in the way you look, sound, or create your personality traits or your gifts. You are exactly who God made you to be. We're all sinners in need of God's saving grace and mercy. That is a yes, but that doesn't change that God made you and that you are valuable. But imagine also what this means for the person sitting next to you. Imagine that what that means for the person in your life who you can't stand. Imagine what that means for the mugshots you see on the news every single night, or those people you didn't vote for and are the subject of your worst Facebook posts. Guess what? They're created by God also. God created that person and those people, and God sees that they are good, even if in the moment you do not. So what does that mean for the way that we regard each other? How do you relate to someone who is created in the image of God, and yet you can't bring yourself to love? You are a valuable creation of God. Every one of you sitting in this room, and so is your neighbor. Folks, that simple fact should give you pause as you think about the way you'll live your life this week. you go about your life relating to those people that you love and get along with, and those that you can't quite figure out or you have a difficult time with, you need to understand and be aware that God created them with the same love that God created you. We also read in this passage that God creates with order and purpose. One of the major takeaways of Genesis 1 as you read it and look at it in the scripture is how well organized it is. Sometimes the texts that we read in the Bible are kind of just laid out like a prose, but this one is almost a beautiful poetry, isn't it? You look at the page and it's neatly organized. And there's a reason for this structure, because order and purpose for our world and for the creation is what God has in mind. It doesn't always seem that way, though, does it? It doesn't always seem that God has ordered the world. It doesn't always seem that God has created the world with purpose. You may have reached those dark moments of the soul where you just feel like you're a tiny dot on a not-so-tiny blue dot in the middle of the universe, and that we're just hurling into nothingness, or that we have no purpose. But God is doing something in your life and in this world, even if at first we cannot detect or sense that beauty of what God is doing around us. If you've ever listened to a music album, I'm guessing that some songs jump right out at you, right? You have the songs that you listen to right away. You hook onto it and you say, I'm going to put that song on repeat. I love that song. You may listen to it over and over and over again. And then there's other songs that you skip. You listen to it the first time through and you think, meh, that's not what I feel like relaxing to. That's not what I'm going to exercise to. That song, it's there, but I'm going to skip every time. Have you ever had that opportunity where you listen to that song that you've skipped over and over again because you feel like it's not musical or it's not creative, and then all of a sudden you notice the beauty in that song or the creativity or the lyrics or the musicality, and you ask yourself, why didn't I notice this before? Have you ever been in that situation? These kind of songs tend to be more complex, I think. Perhaps even at first they seem chaotic. They may not have a pop sort of beat to it or something that's easy to listen to. Lyrically, they may be very symbolic or not straightforward. Maybe the music itself is not an easy scale or time to listen to. But eventually the beauty of this song sinks in. It becomes a new song that you can't skip. Maybe that's how we're to view this creation that we find ourselves in. Our role and all that happens to us, the blessings, the curses, the health, the sickness, is all part of this beautiful album or song that God is writing in this world around us. Maybe there's a divine musical creation in the works that is difficult to listen to at times, or perhaps even at first, and we're ready just to skip over it, or at the very least not pay too close attention to it, to find it meaningless. But when we reflect on it enough, when we meditate, when we pray, when we read the scripture and see where Jesus fits into everything, the music begins to make sense. And it's something that we listen to over and over and over again. Finally, as we reflect on God as creator, we can't ignore that in this scriptural image of God as creator, that there's something very important in the scriptures, that God has brought forth new creation through Jesus Christ. In Colossians, we read that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. So we are all created in the image of God. That is something all of humanity shares. And yet God calls us to something even more. God calls us to cast our gaze upon the firstborn over all creation. Yes, we should seek to love and to find peace with everyone in this world, regardless of their faith, regardless of their creed, regardless of their context. We should live in love and peace with all of those whom we encounter. But God calls us to cast our eyes upon something even greater, that being the person of Jesus Christ. From the beginning, God has given us the ability to glimpse His will in this creation. But with the sending of His Son, we can now see where all of creation finds its meaning and purpose. We can know that what God intends for this good creation, that we find ourselves living in the midst of it, and that we are called to live in it. That God intends new creation and new life for us to find. I started with a quote about jazz, and so I think it's appropriate that as I close, I'll think of another one, or I'll find another one, from Miles Davis. Miles Davis says, "When I'm playing, I'm never through. It's unfinished. I like to find a place to leave for someone else to finish it. That's where the high came in." God has created this world. God has created us and has shown us the ability to love. But God has also invited us to take part in this beautiful musical arrangement that we find ourselves in. We're called to take part in the story. We don't simply leave the truth that God is creator alone. We reflect on this notion that God has created us and created this world with love, and that God's creation finds its ultimate purpose in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who makes it possible for us to be reconciled to God and to find life everlasting in the person of Jesus Christ. And with that truth, God calls on us to continue to create under His guidance. First Baptist Church, we are still working on this story in our neighborhoods. We are still proclaiming this story that Jesus has come to save the world and to reconcile all things unto Himself. We proclaim that, and God has asked us to create and to find new ways to share the gospel. God asks us to find new relationships, new realities in our context, new ways of sharing the love of Christ. And so in many ways, God has called us to continue to create under His guidance. As we think about and reflect on God as creator, the great, beautiful creator of this beautiful creation we find ourselves in, know that God also calls you to create. It doesn't put you on equal footing with God. That's not what I'm trying to suggest. But God has given you a task. God has given you a purpose in the name of Jesus Christ and with the guidance of the Holy Spirit to create good things, new creation around us. Maybe a better way to phrase it is that God has asked us to point out this new creation around us, to proclaim that we are a new creation because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross and because of what we glimpse in the empty tomb. We are now called to show off this new creation that is us. How will you show the world that you have been made new and that the Creator loves us enough to send His Son to die for us and then to be raised to new life? How will you proclaim that truth in new ways as we prepare to go forth today? Let's pray together.